This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mr. Durham, good Thursday morning to you. It's a nice brisk day this morning in Charlotte, NC.
It is.
Go outside, walk the dogs. It'll wake you up pretty quick, I guarantee you.
Yeah, nice to be with you. Drew Brooks, Josh Macker here, and we welcome back Chrissy Velez, who directed show number one.
She's a superstar.
And is back for show 94. Superstar. She's back to us, I'm sure, on loan from some other high-budgeted racketeering operation within the company.
Yeah, Wes
but
is,
here on show 294, we welcome her back.
Yeah, I mean, she might have done show 94, but she's definitely going to do show 294 for sure. But it's great having her back.
That's right.
And again, part of the smart room up there in Bristol. I'll say one thing. We got a lot of games to get into from last night. But if you have been paying attention to ACC basketball the last two nights, we have had six conference games. And the margin of victory has been 1, 2, 2, 3, 4, and 9 points. Now, when you sit there and laugh at us and we do accounting and tell you who is the alpha dog in this league, and we just kind of shrug our shoulders and go, well, we're not sure. The glob has moved from the middle to the top. But again, perfect snapshot. Last 48 hours in the league. 1, 2, 2, 3, 4, and 9 point games. It's exactly what we got.
You know, it's funny you bring up accounting, because the team we had number one in accounting was on the road last night, and that was Virginia Tech, number 19 in the country. The Hokies went to the KFC Yum Center last night to see the Louisville Cardinals of Chris Mack, and a heck of a game broke out. Not just a good game, a heck of a game. This is kind of right there behind NC State and Clemson in terms of just the momentum shifts and things like that last night. But congratulations to the Cards, who won 73-71. Louisville did it with a combination of Jalen Withers, a young freshman from Charlotte, with his first double-double, and 17 each from Carleek Jones and David Johnson, friend of the show, I guess we can say, from the other day.
We mentioned yesterday that this game had the same feel and build-up of the NC State-Clemson game. Teams that you thought right now are in the upper tier of the league. And we talked about almost ad nauseum yesterday about how good the game was in Little John. Here's the same deal. These are two teams that if they played again tomorrow, I suspect it'd be another last possession kind of game. But it was a strange game. It was really a strange night in the league in terms of we had a pair of games in the conference where two teams led 11-zip and lost, both of them. But in terms of this game, Louisville got punched in the face. Mack calls a timeout. They respond immediately, get right back in the game, then go on a run.
Yep.
And then Virginia Tech, because they're a good team, responded after Louisville went crazy on them. And next thing you know, it comes down to a three-pointer at the end. And Virginia Tech almost stole this one on the road. But again, two good teams. You know, I haven't changed my mind on either one of them. I think right now, Louisville and Virginia Tech are certainly – upper third teams right now in this conference. I don't think there's any debate based on what the sample of work that you've seen so far early here in January.
Yeah, I Louisville's getting better, and that's without Charles Menlund and also Malik Williams in the lineup too. Yes, a lot of it comes perimeter based, but perhaps one of the most encouraging signs last night for the Cards and Coach Mack is the double-double from Jalen Withers. Once you get somebody kind of set up inside, Mark, I don't think there's any doubt that you're talking about a team that's going to be capable. Samuel Williamson and Quinn Selinsky and some of the other guys who have also contributed to their success here early. So Louisville finds themselves at 8-1, that lone loss to Wisconsin. They're now 3-0 in the ACC. Jalen Cohn, by the way, went for 23 last night for the Hokies in a losing effort. And I've always thought that Cohn, who's a sophomore from Walkertown, just outside of Winston-Salem, is vastly underrated in terms of where he fits in the grand scheme of Virginia Tech. You get to Hunter Couture, Naheem Aline, Tyrese Radford, Keve Aluma, all good players, don't get me wrong. But Jalen Cohn is like a powder keg. Once he sets off now, he can make it life miserable for you. And last night he went for 23. Hokies are 2-1. They're 8-2 overall. I think these are two good teams. Now, Pack, I got to tell you, last night, accounting became the subject of post-game comments from the University of Louisville's head men's basketball coach.
I mean, we had the power rankings up in our practice gym. West Durham had Virginia Tech number one. Luke Hancock had him number one. Everybody had him number one, and there's a reason for that. They've earned that.
There you go. Accounting always comes back to play. In case you need a refresher, let's make sure that we have the numbers, right? Because Chris Mack put the accounting numbers up there. So with that said, let's refresh where we were with accounting, Wes, because if I'm not mistaken, I believe everybody that's been associated with this show this week had Virginia Tech number one. Is that right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think so.
As far as Louisville goes, all right, here we go. Here's Wes. Here you go. Hey, it's your list. Have at it.
Well, I mean, I had Virginia Tech one, and by the way, that was the determining factor to me was because of the win against Clemson. Had Clemson beaten Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Clemson would have been number one. But nonetheless, then Louisville was seven. Some say I might have been low on the cards. I appreciate Coach Mack not bringing that up.
I'm going to.
But, I thought Louisville was a team that was capable. We just had to see more of it. And, be honest with you, I was impressed with the win at Boston College, but also had questions about Virginia and Syracuse along the way, and Georgia Tech too. But Louisville answered a lot last night. Proud of the cards from that standpoint.
Let's look at Luke Hancock's accounting here, because obviously Chris Mack had it fresh on the brain since it was up on the scoreboard and in the room for everybody to see. Like I said, everybody had the Hokies number one in accounting, but Luke had the cards number four, which I thought was a really good spot to put him in. There was no number seven there with Hancock. No.
Now, you got to remember, he was the MOP of the Natty, so, Luke's going to – I give him credit for keeping the alma mater at four. Now, hey, Pack, you also had him at four now.
Yeah, of course. That's exactly where they should have been.
Yeah.
You can't lose by 100 to Wisconsin and think that you're going to crack the top two or three, right? You can't do that.
Right. Right.
But the good news for Louisville, and the reason I like them, number one, hey, if you got good guards, you got chance in college hoops. And they're not healthy. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. When they become whole, they're going to be a problem. They're already a problem as we speak right now. But biggest word in sports, if Louisville can get whole, they are going to stick their nose in everybody's business based on what I have seen so far in this league. But that was a good ball game last night. And, Virginia Tech, hey, there's no shame at losing at Louisville. But the Hokies, they're going to have to figure out Louisville, all right? I mean, I think if you're thinking big picture for Virginia Tech that, hey, we're pretty good. We got a chance here. But at some point in time, you got to figure out the curse. Hey, 17 straight you've lost to these guys. 17 in a row.
Yeah.
And it's not like Virginia Tech's a doormat, man. They've had good teams. So they're going to have to figure that thing out one way or the other. But this game last night, it kind of reminded me of the NC State Clemson game the night before. Those four teams, that combination of those four, I think you could put in the top five in the league. I don't even think that's a reach right now with the way those teams are playing.
Well, ball game is a one-possession game, and here it is, the back end of the two-shot. David Johnson, the miss. Aluma on the outlet. Now, Couture gets a decent look for a guy that can stroke it now.
Well, this kind of stuff, Wes, this stuff kind of balances itself out. I mean, the other night, Virginia Tech's playing Miami, really a game they had in control, and that thing got kind of dicey at the end, and Wong had a three, which would have been an incredible comeback win for Miami, and it rimmed out. So, you lucked out on that one. The shot last night, could it have gone? It could have. So, quite frankly, they probably got what they deserved, I would say, if you're Virginia Tech. You won one, you lost one. But again, you're up 11-0. I know there's a 40-minute game. You got to close it, right? You got a double-digit lead against a good team. They're going to make a run, and that's exactly what Louisville did. So I'm impressed that the cards came back last night after getting punched right in the nose right out of the gate. I'm also impressed that after stinking it up in Madison They've been pretty good since. So, again, I think if they're a stock, I'm buying both of them for the rest of the ACC.
Yeah. By the way, second consecutive game of five or less for Virginia Tech. We'll keep an eye on that, too. Close games starting to become a script maybe in this league. And it also played out last night at the Dome in Central New York, where here we go, Pac. You know what? Big lead early. All of a sudden, Syracuse has got a 14-point lead at halftime. Orange has got to be feeling pretty good about their situation. Then Pittsburgh storms back in the second half after just being really, really frustrated at the offensive end in the first half. Second half, Xavier Johnson, Audis Toney, spark the Panthers. Itti Al Horton, really good. And Pittsburgh gets a great road win. Not a good road win, a great road win for Jeff Capel.
Well, I was kidding around with you yesterday since this was a little matinee 4:30 start. And I said, doggone it, I'm going to be on the radio. I'm not going to be able to watch it. I checked the score during a commercial break on Sirius XM. And we don't have many commercials, by the way. And it was 11-0. And I'm like, oh, forget it. I'm putting my phone down like, all right, I'm not going to worry about that game until, you know, I get done with the show and then go up and get ready for Louisville and Virginia Tech for dinner after right. the radio show. And I was stunned when I saw the final score. I was like, what? It was 11-0. And, of course, then you read about what was going on, see the highlights, and you're like, how in the world did that get away from Syracuse? I mean, that's one of those, if you're Jim Boeheim mm-hmm. and the guys, hey, Pitt's undermanned, games in the afternoon, you get off to a great start, you're up 18. I mean, you know, you're cruising. I mean, that's one of those, you kind of figure you're putting that one in your back right. pocket and let's get on down the road for the next game. That's a tough one to swallow if you're Syracuse. That's one of those that if it comes back at the end of the year, you're like, man, we just, one more win. We got to find one more win. That's one of those you look back in early January and go, how in the world did we let that get away? But if you're Jeff Capel and company, man, you are laughing all the way to the bank. You take that one and run. And I kid around with you before the show with Syracuse. You know, they joined the league in 2013-14, and they jumped into the conference and really had a nice year. They were 14-4. They lost their ACC tournament debut. But since then, since 2015, counting the ACC tournament, the NCAA tournament, Syracuse is 500 in the league. And I got to tell you, ooh. Wes, you know, we in football, we talked about Miami's influence when they joined the conference, what you thought the Canes mm-hmm. were going to do in ACC football. It's kind of similar with what I thought Syracuse could do in ACC basketball, right? I just thought they would have a right. much more impactful presence in terms of being at the top, and it just hasn't happened. Doesn't mean they haven't had good teams. Doesn't mean they haven't yep. gotten to the NCAA tournament and made some noise, but I just thought they would be a little bit more consistent in the big picture. Same thing with Miami football when they made the run from the Big East into the ACC. So I think there's kind of a parallel between Syracuse hoops Miami football and joining the ACC.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, for the delicate balance that Syracuse had last night that resulted in a tough loss, boy, you got to feel good about where Pittsburgh's headed. Audis Toney gave him a double-double last night, 12 points and 14 rebounds, Pack. That's the kind of performance, unfortunately, it may take night in, night out now to offset the loss of Justin Champagne for the next month or so.
Yeah, and, you know, Pitt got off to the slow start, and I think all of us, and probably in some respects, kind of said, we'll put Pitt on the back burner until otherwise. They've been playing good basketball. And, you know, they've right. been kind of sneaky how they've kind of gotten right back into this, despite all the shorthandedness that they've had in terms of showing up and having to play games. So, you know, that might be another team that's sitting there going, hey, middle of the pack, can we make a move up to an upper tier kind of deal? We'll see. But that was a big, big comeback win for Pitt last night.
Well, I'll offer you this. They're 2-1 in the ACC, and now they've won ACC openers in the past. Remember, they beat Florida State a couple of years ago to start the ACC campaign last year. Yeah. I would offer you this. After three games, Pittsburgh having a winning record in the ACC, we might have to go back a few years to find them with a winning mark in the ACC after three games. Usually, they may get a win in there somewhere in the first three, but then the slide happens. Now, this group has persevered a little bit. You talk about teams been dealt some stuff now. You get the two-week pause because of the positive. That's on the heels of losing one of your best players, maybe your best player in Champagne.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you go to Syracuse and win. you got to feel – and look, we like Jeff Capel. We think he's good people, the whole nine yards. But you got to be impressed with the way that group has kind of hung in there, Pack, because given what had happened in the past, you know, they had a choice to make, you know, right? I mean, that 2 weeks, they could have gone either way. You give them credit for kind of hanging in there, and now all of a sudden – They've got some legitimate things to build with them. If the Al Horton will join us at 9:15 this morning, I'm looking forward to talking to a young guy about what it's meant to be part of this.
Yeah. Again, this, we keep score, right? We just embrace with what we get from a game perspective. But I'm just saying that the flip side to all of this, I think if you're Syracuse, and I think we both thought Syracuse, and still do, I still think Syracuse has a chance. Mm-hmm. But that was one of those kind of games you just can't let those get away from you at home, right? And I know the home court advantage has been all but eliminated this year in college basketball. But when you've got somebody down 18 at home and the team you're playing shorthanded, you got to close the deal there. I mean, there are no excuses. You got to win that game. It's going to be tough enough to win games anyhow. Mm-hmm. But when you're up 18 at home against a guy playing with one hand tied behind their back, you got to win that game.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Miss Chrissy back in the big chair. Kind of feels like old times again. Here in old Packer. Pull up a chair, Chrissy. Come hang out with us again. All right. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We are just scratching the surface on what was a really interesting and kind of a bizarre night in ACC hoops. The two first games we promoted, he had teams that got off to 11 zip leads and lost. And then the next two games we're getting ready to talk about, Duke and BC and Wake and Virginia, Boston College shoots 67% in the first half, goes up 16 and loses. Wake Forest shoots 63% in the first half, goes up double digits and loses. I'm telling you, it's kind of a weird, strange night. But we'll start with Cameron Indoor Stadium. And John Shire looking for his first W as a head coach and gets it. And Wes, I watched this game and I'm sitting there watching the first half and I'm thinking BC's getting ready to blow them right out of the gym. And by the way, the 81st birthday of Cameron Indoor last night, right? How about that? 1940.
Yeah.
We tipped this bad boy off at Cameron Indoor. And BC life is good. I mean, it was just like, hey, this is a piece of cake layup drill. And Duke's trying to knock the rust off this thing because they haven't played in 20 days. And all of a sudden, there's a guy by the name of Wendell Moore that reappears for Duke. And boy, did he ever. After only scoring, what, 19 points all year, puts a 25 spot up on him, Wes. And Duke comes back and takes care of business and holds on for a one-point win last night.
Here's the thing. Wendell Moore is the key development last night for the Blue Devils with the career high in 25 rather. But your statement about the beginning of the ball game where BC was running to the rim on every play, whether it was Felder or Langford or guys getting down the floor for dunks, Steph Mitchell recovering in the lane on rebounds at the offensive end, or Rich Kelly, the Quinnipiac transfer, was bombing away from three. Duke had to withstand the flurry, and when you think they trailed like they did at the half and then rallied back, and Moore had a lot to do with it. I thought he – and look, Matthew Hurt's having a great year at the offensive end. I can't speak to what their expectations are for him or what he's delivered at the defensive end of the floor, but to me, he's hitting big shot after big shot. But it was Wendell Moore's night last night. I mean, it was amazing to watch it happen and unfold. And to me, that's the kind of thing that if you're Duke, you can parlay that into another guy, right? Because, you know, no Jalen Johnson at this point. Stewart is still settling in. He's had moments. Jeremy Roach, likewise, on the back line. Jamin Brakefield played a little bit last night, not much. I mean, the reality of it is they need Wendell Moore. And they need him in a big way, principally because of his experience, if nothing else. Now, for BC, I hate to say it, playing the 27 Yankees and the 72 Dolphins and the 85 Bears and the Celtics of the 60s and all this, I mean, you have scheduled up. We talked about it with Brad Brownell yesterday. He and Jim Christian are friends, and they talked about just choosing to dig in. BC is a lot better than 2-8 but it's not going to be recognized because you've only got a couple wins to it. You've only got a couple wins for playing the strong schedule. And it's a shame. I thought Felder's 24 last night was good. I see spots on that team. But late in the game, Pack, the miscues the Eagles gave you are probably what's, you know, keeping Jim Christian up at night, to be honest.
How are you going to beat anybody, much less Duke and Cameron, with 21 turnovers? You know, I'll say the same thing I said during the Pitt-Syracuse breakdown. When you're up 16, you have to win that game. And I know things can change in a hurry with the three-point line and all that stuff. But given the fact that Duke hadn't played in basically in 3 weeks, you got them down 16.
Yeah.
Duke's credit, they made a run at the end of the first half to cut it to 8 at halftime. And then a game, you know, back and forth. And again, it was the last guy with the ball is going to win. Duke gets the win. But, Wes, I will say it again. I just need to see more from Duke. I cannot tell you on January the 7th that I am sold on the Blue Devils. And I know it's still an open-ended book here because you haven't seen but just a few games. But the first half effort, I mean, it was a layup drill. And I'm watching it going, for crying out loud, man, you're down 16 to BC. And the Eagles just couldn't hold on the ball in the second half. They just decided, oh, we're just going to give it to you guys all day and let you catch up and see what happens here. And you mentioned, you know, you think BC's better than the record. That may be true, but, you know, at the end of the day, it is about wins and losses. And you get in close games, you got to close. And they had a chance at NC State, didn't get the job done. Had a chance against Minnesota, who's turned out to be a really good club in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, didn't get the job done. Last night, they didn't get the job done. And at some point in time, you can't be kicking the ball around all night and throwing it around. I mean, you're not good enough to turn it over 21 times and beat anybody, much less Duke. Mm. So there's a lot of work to be done at Chestnut Hill. And Duke, I just need to see Duke play more. And Jalen Johnson's absence really hurts. I mean, that guy's a potentially dynamic influence. We saw that when he went 19-19 in his first game. But word is still out on Duke. I don't have a feel for the Blue Devils at all.
Also, Virginia last night in action at John Paul Jones Arena. Cavaliers beat Wake Forest 70-61. Another ball game that started in a flurry. Deacons on the road. Coach Forbes got them shooting threes. In fact, they finished the night 10 of 19 from three, Pack. But it wasn't enough. Isaiah Musius, 14.7 rebounds. Because Virginia put five guys in double figures, shot 54% from the floor, and were plus +7 in the turnover margin last night. And those are all recipes for a Tony Bennett win.
Yep. Like I said, they were similar games in the respect that the two visitors were shooting lights out in the first half, had a double-digit lead. Life was comfortable. But the more talented teams came back and won. That's how that works sometimes. But for Wake, again, listen, Forbes has inherited an interesting situation with his team. They haven't played many games. They have been roadkill on the road. They've now lost 29 straight on the road to ranked teams. But I saw some signs of life with Wake last night. It's kind of strange that you'd shoot over 50%. In fact, both teams did from the field. But Wake shot over 50% from the field, over 50% from three, and under 50% from the line. Now, you go figure that one out. But you just, if you're in a situation where, hey, you're playing a better team, you're on the road, even with no home court environment, you got to hold on the ball. You just these teams aren't good enough to be able to say, hey, here's some empty possessions. Go ahead and you try and see if you catch up. You're going to get beat eventually. And for Virginia, I kind of feel about Virginia like I do Duke. I mean, I know they're talented. They've got great coaches, all the DNA and all that stuff. Just need to see more. I'm not sold on Virginia yet, and I'm not sold on Duke yet.
Yeah, well, we'll come up in here in just a minute with Dan Bonner. Jeff Goodman will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get some more perspective and analysis on what we've seen and what we still need to see in relationship to ACC basketball. But your comment at the top of the show today is the one that that catches your eye, because we've had six conference games in the last two nights and a total of 20 points. I mean, you can write this stuff down. We are living, after not getting any close games, we're now buying them by the bucket.
Say it again. We've had six games, total of 20 points. Is that what you said?
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
we've had a 1 point, a 2 point, a 2 point, a 3 point, a 4 point, a 9 point.
Mm-hmm.
20 points.
Yep. Okay. Last two nights.
Right. 20 points.
Did I get? I got the math right, didn't I?
1 point, 2 point, 2 point, 3 point, 4 point, 9 point.
Is that 20? No. Okay. 3, 5, 6, 15. Hang on. Go back to my sheet from last night. You keep looking at your thing over there. You get yourself figured out over there.
Wait. I get me and figured then the night- out. Try this again. Try it again. Come on, Wes. I'm putting the pressure on you.
Last night was 15 points, right? A 9, 10. Yeah, last night was 15 points. And then what was the night before? We had an overtime game at NC at Clemson. That was 3, right?
That was 4.
And Miami Carolina was 1 or 2.
2.
That's 20 points. Is it not? What?
1 plus 2.
Six games.
Wait, hold on. 1 plus 2 is what?
That's 3.
Plus 2.
5.
Plus 3.
8.
Plus 4.
12.
Plus 9.
21. Sorry.
You are, I'm telling you, you are my man. You are the most you are unbelievable. Finite math.
Yeah, but when a ball gets punted from the 40 to the 20, I know it's a 40-yard punt. How's that?
You are all over it. Now you got it. So, Chris Mack.
All right, we got to go.
Hey, Chris Mack, next time you see that power ranking from West Durham, you better make sure you know what you're talking about.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Our next guest is a gentleman that's been on this program many, many times. And I'm curious to hear his take, especially with the Blue Bloods currently in our conference. Dan Bonner joins us from the farm up there in beautiful Virginia. Dan, good morning. How are you? You doing all right?
I'm doing just fine, guys. How about yourselves? You know, you can't be complaining that it's cold. It is January, boys.
Well, that's a good point. We never looked at it that way. We just kind of got used to the fact that maybe we can get through the whole winter without freezing. But it's going to be, we're going to be okay. The question, though, is when you take a snapshot of this league, I mean, what in the world do you see? Big picture, from the top to the bottom, has anything kind of surprised you yet in which you said, wow, didn't see that coming?
Well, I have to tell you, the performance of teams like Virginia Tech and Clemson has surprised me. Now, I know Virginia Tech lost last night, but I think Clemson and Virginia Tech have played very well. They've had good wins. And if you look particularly with Virginia Tech, they were picked, what, 11th or 12th in the preseason. Mm-hmm. So I think their performance so far has been a surprise. And Clemson has been a revelation as well. Those are my biggest takeaways of what's been going on, that a couple of teams you didn't expect to perform well have performed exceedingly well.
Dan, the curious part for me and one of our topics here the last couple days has been the start and stop of this. Last night we saw Duke return to action for the first time in 20 days to play Boston College, and it looked like the Blue Devils were stuck in neutral for about the first 12 minutes of the game. And, in fact, you know, trailed obviously big at the break and then rallied to win. What's your expectation of these teams coming back? I mean, how much time, how much runway do you think it's going to take to get them back to where they are? And we've now got Georgia Tech on pause, which is a team that was also playing pretty well.
Wes, that's a really good question. How long does it take? You know, I don't know. Let's think back to the days, if we can, let's think back to the days before we had this pandemic, before we had to wear masks, before we had to do all this stuff. And let's envision what happened when these teams would go on break for exams in particular. Everybody would go on break for exams. And when you come back from break for exams, who did you play? Well, you played somebody who you could beat very easily. And if you played somebody who was really good, then you'd always wonder if the coach and the athletic director didn't get along. And so I think that the issue that you have now, yeah, you're coming back from these long pauses, and now we're not in the non-conference season anymore. So when you come back from one of these pauses, you're going to play a good basketball team, and that is generally not a formula to look your best. And particularly with Duke, they're still missing Johnson last night. So, and Boston College isn't bad. Their record's not good, but they haven't lost to terrible teams.
All right, so let me ask you this, Dan. I'm going to take three. In fact, I'll throw four ultimate blue bloods here in the league. I'm going to give you Duke. I'm going to give you North Carolina. I'm going to give you Virginia. And I'm going to give you Syracuse. Four blue bloods, all right? Who do you have the most faith in that, hey, I know it's early, haven't seen enough of really of any of them, but who do you have the most faith in of those four that, hey, by the time we get to the end of the month, assuming we're going to play games now, and we get to the end of the month, that you're going to feel really comfortable with? And it could be more than just one team. You may say pack all of them, for all I know. But who do you have the most faith that by the end of the month, we won't even have this conversation?
Mark, I don't know that by the end of the month we won't be having this conversation, because I think every team needs to build towards something. And I think all of them will be more confident in. But if you're going to talk about the most confidence, then I'm going to say Virginia. And I'm going to point you to the fact that at this time last year, there was nothing but wailing and gnashing of teeth at Virginia or around Virginia, that the people who were the Virginia fans had totally forgotten that they had just won a national championship and lost most of the guys on the team. And Virginia, they couldn't shoot the ball at all. They were really struggling. But by the end of the season, you could make the argument that they were playing as well as any team in the ACC. They finished with a team that, you know, couldn't hit the water from the deck of the boat, finished 15, won 15 games in the conference. It was like unbelievable. And so based on that track record, I will tell you that the team in which I have most confidence of those four is Virginia. And that's not to say that the others won't be better. I think Duke will be fine. I think North Carolina will be fine. As long as Syracuse can shoot the ball, they'll be fine. But I think your question was whom do I have the most confidence? It's Virginia.
Dan, it's interesting. We started this conversation with Virginia Tech and Clemson being surprises. I thought the Clemson-NC State game from the other night was a high-level game that kind of showcased a couple of teams that look like they've got staying power. They're old enough, they're athletic enough, and maybe deep enough, and do things well at both ends of the floor.
Well, Wes, of course, that's what you want. Coaches always talk about getting old and staying old. Well, those two teams, they're in that position right now. And then, of course, ultimately, you have to have talented guys. You got to be able to put the ball in the basket. You got to be able to defend. And both of those teams can. I think that finally NC State has the kind of personnel and the number of people that Kevin Keats, he can finally play pretty much that style that he wants to play. And I've been impressed with North Carolina State as well. I haven't seen them in person, just on television, but I think, well, of course, I see everybody on television now. I think that NC State is another team that is going to be pretty good, is already pretty good.
Dan, I go back to last year's Operation Basketball, where you reminded everybody when we were trying to figure out what the ACC was going to look like. And you said, you know what, guys, we've had this whole conversation and not one time did anybody bring up Florida State. And you were the guy that kind of reminded everybody, keep an eye on the Noles. Old Leonard's built a great program there and never seems to get the recognition of the Blue Bloods and et cetera, et cetera. And here we are in another conversation. And I know we haven't seen a lot of them. But you know what? We haven't talked about Florida State, big picture. You know, Louisville, when they get completely whole, they're going to be a tough out. We've talked about the upstarts with NC State, Virginia Tech, and Clemson. You feel confident that the Blue Bloods will figure this thing out with the most confidence of Virginia. But now let me bring you to Florida State. Now, we're going like 8, 9, 10 teams deep here. We're going to bring Florida State into conversation. Crystal ball the Noles, based on what you've seen and where you think they can get to this year in the conference.
I think that when all is said and done, they're going to be among the top three, maybe at the top. I just think that they're long, they're talented. There's 38 of them. Leonard again has the 7-foot guy who you can't pronounce his name. So there's all the elements of your typical Florida State team, and they're not going to go out and blow your doors off every single game, because they're going to grind you. They're going to really play hard defensively. They've got to be able to shoot the ball well to be at their best. But I think by the time the season is over, they will slot in among the top three in the conference.
You know, they're an interesting team. Not only do they have qualities that they've obviously had with successful teams in the past, Dan, they're hauling a 6'9 point guard out there at you now. I mean, Scotty Barnes, a gifted kid. He's not going to – I mean, he'll give you a highlight play here or there, but he's about as steady as a freshman as we've seen the last few years handling the ball at that size in this league.
Well, I mean, handling the ball at that size in any league, I mean, you got to go back to Magic Johnson, I think, before you find somebody. And I'm not comparing him to Magic Johnson, but I'm saying that somebody that big who can handle the ball that well, that's a real phenomenon. And I'm one of the things that I'm sorry about with the way we do things, which is wonderful, by the way. I have to tip my hat to the folks we work for with their creativity and imagination to dream up this this way to do games over Zoom. I mean, it's amazing. And the other thing is amazing is they've got people who can tell me how to do it. But you miss seeing somebody like Scotty Barnes. I had a conversation with Josh Pastner, and he said, yeah, you know, he knew all about Scotty Barnes, but when he saw him out there on the court before they played Florida State, he thought, oh, my. That this guy is like unbelievable. And so you miss that in person kind of thing. But I'll take Josh Pastner's word for that. And everything I've seen from Scotty Barnes, it indicates he's going to be a heck of a player. And Florida State's going to have a heck of a year.
Dan, speaking of Josh Pastner, after really kind of an ugly start, which you saw some scores and you're going, yikes, what's going on in Atlanta? Josh and his guys have gotten their act together. Of course, everybody in the conference seems to beat Kentucky these days, but still. They had a pretty good week, and Alvarado has been on fire here the last couple ball games.
Yeah, they have. They're really playing together well. When you can get the kind of performance that they've gotten from Moses Wright down on the inside, and you can get Alvarado and DeVoe scoring consistently from the perimeter, then they become suddenly very tough, and they play that funny little matchup zone that gives people so many problems, and they had it rolling, but of course now they're on pause. Yeah. And so how are they going to come out of that? But I think that's the big key to the season. There are going to be stops and starts. There are going to be pauses. And I think the teams eventually that come out of this are going to be the teams that prove best at rolling with the punches. You got to adapt. You got to improvise. You got to overcome. And I think the teams that show themselves, that show those qualities to the highest level, are going to be the teams that have the most success.
You add all that together, and you're right, by the way, but you add all that stuff together, and we would find ourselves, if we were doing games in the traditional fashion, having conversations about 1 to 15 and a player here and a player there. But, Dan, there's not a name right now in this league that comes right to the front of the line. Not only do we maybe not have the premier team, and that's been documented through the AP poll, I'm not sure we've got that dominant player right now. We don't have that one guy that this league readily kind of has on the national landscape. Is that fair?
Boy, Wes, that's I hadn't thought about that point, but you are 100% correct. That is very fair. It just seems to be. Well, again, getting back to my conversations with Josh Pastner, he says the league is totally wide open, and I agree with him 100%. And it's wide open not only from the standpoint of which team is going to win the league, but which players are going to emerge as the league's top players. No question about it.
One other thing for me. I know Miami is playing with both hands tied behind their back with all the injuries, and they're at 0-4. Mm. Mike Bray's gotten off to a tough start. He's at 0-4. We mentioned BC and their situation. Wake's, of course, work in progress. You know, one team that we just keep – hey, they just keep winning games is Pitt. And they kind of stole one yesterday on the road, Dan. I mean, hey, you're down 11-0, and you got half your team sitting there at home. Jeff Capel's guys, after kind of a slow stumble coming out of the gate, they're just kind of flying underneath the radar too. What do you think about Pitt?
I think if they can get their guys healthy, you know, Jeff Capel's been there long enough that they play a really hard-nosed style of basketball. You know, Xavier Johnson is a guy who's as tough a guy as there is in the league. And so I'm not saying he's one of the best, you know, he's the best player in the league. That's not at all what I'm trying to say. But there's a certain grit and a certain toughness about Pitt that they will grind on you and grind on you, and with no super teams. And I think the AP poll is probably correct. With no super teams in the league, if you got a team of guys who are just going to grind at you, then you have a chance every game. And that's all you can really ask. You know, be in the game at the end, you make a couple shots, you win. That's been Notre Dame's problem. They haven't been able to make those couple shots. That's been Miami's problem, of course, and all their injuries and stuff. Mm. They just haven't made that one shot or had that one little run at the end of a game that puts them over the top. So Pitt is, they're going to grind you, and they could end up having a pretty good season.
Real quick, are we keeping you from any appointed rounds in the mean streets of Verona, Virginia this morning? I mean, I know there's plenty of things to do out there at the farm. Anything that, you know, we're keeping you from, or we apologize for that?
Well, no, you're not. I got to, the birds are going to be upset here in a few minutes because I haven't fed them yet, so I got to go out and fill the birds. And then my wife's going to be upset because our wood pile is a little low, so I got to go out and split some more wood. But I wasn't going to do that now anyway, guys.
All right, Daniel
Boone.
That's
the last thing we want to do, Pac. Yeah. Thank you, Coach Bonner. Appreciate it.
Guys, thanks for having me. Best wishes. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you and the family.
Thank you. You too.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
You mentioned the transactional portion of college football. It was front and center yesterday, mm-hmm. wasn't it? I mean, goodness gracious. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, right after we got off the air. Yeah. You know, you'd think that maybe Trevor would, you know, kind of say, yeah, I'm Packer and Durham, 22. I'll just hop on, tell him real quick.
Or pass along the video, let us help you out, get the word out.
Well, yeah, there you go. Pass along the video.
Yeah, you don't have to come on. Just share the video. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Just a thought. If we got a video
drop
produced.
Us the video.
We could have played it for you at 9:45. Yeah. You know, forget Twitter and social media. You got a whole network you can play with here. But nevertheless,
we
wish you the
network.
Best.
That's a conference on.
Right.
And that's we wish it. Him the Absolutely. Best. Absolutely. And awesome congratulations.
Yep.
You know, here's the other thing, too. When you start looking at just the sheer success, 34-2 now, we're talking about one of the most successful quarterbacks in college football history now, not just this year, not just the last 3 years. And clearly had a great team with him. But look at this list right here. Who didn't remember that Chuck Ealy quarterbacked the Toledo Rockets to a 35-0 record from the 60s to the 70s? Steve Davis at Oklahoma, Ken Dorsey, Matt Leinart, Kellen Moore, Vince Young. It's a pretty good list, Pac.
Yep, no doubt about it. I just liked, as far as his video goes, you know what I loved about it the most? Was, you know, they asked him about his legacy. He said, you know, my legacy was I was a good teammate. And, you know, when you get a guy who's had the success that he's had and the team has had, and your response is, my legacy is I was a good person and a good teammate. That's all you need to know. That is literally all you need to know about Trevor Lawrence. We know what a talented dude he is. You saw his impact on the sport away from the sport last summer with all the social and racial unrest that was going on. You know, I said my two cents about the Heisman the other day. You know, if you get it, awesome. If you don't, hey, he's going to be successful, period. But it was a joy to watch him play. He was just handled himself a class. So respected in the locker room, respected by the teams he played I mean, they all, you know, after a game, you'd see everybody go up to 16, right? So you wish him the best. And if it turns out he ends up in Jacksonville, I hope he has an incredible pro career. But, you know, got his degree, has gotten engaged, won a national championship, 3 ACC titles, all the records you need to know. I mean, what else is there to say? The guy's just a great, great player. And like he said, you know what? Want to be known as a great teammate. He's a terrific person, too.
Yeah. Notre Dame also, Ian Book announcing he's going to go to the NFL as well. Now, you may say, well, wait a second, wasn't he a senior? Yes, but you got to remember now, some of these guys are doing this in part because of the bonus year, right, Mark? I mean, we got some guys that are coming back. Phil Campbell, the outstanding linebacker at Pittsburgh, announced he's coming back the other day.
Yep.
You know, various and sundry places. But Ian Book also announced he's going to go to the NFL yesterday from Notre Dame. And then from the transfer line came the note that Bailey Hockman will graduate from NC State and transfer as a grad transfer. So not only does he get the bonus in the rotation here, Hockman gets to go as a grad transfer. Leaves Dave Doran, of course, with Devin Leary, who was the starting quarterback for the Wolfpack before he got hurt in October against Duke. Bailey Hockman played very well. Part of NC State's success this season certainly should be credited to Hockman, but he will be going to his fourth school in 5 years when he announces his destination sometime, I'm guessing, here in the next couple weeks or so.
I was surprised to see that news, but hey, you know what? You do what you got to do. We're in a pandemic. You got a freebie year as far as the NCAA is concerned. You know, I don't live in his shoes, but you do what you have to do. But I was a bit surprised to see that news. And also, Jackson Carman has decided that he's going to take his
left tackle. Yep.
To me, now of all that news yesterday, Hockman surprised me, and Carman's departure on an offensive line that came in question at the end of that Ohio State game, that'll be something to keep an eye on as we move into spring football.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.